Yeah. Mm.
Tonight on the Boom Bap Chat, we welcome in Shorty Nomaz. Hey, yo, Till, yo, Ayo, let's get started.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get started. Indeed, I am MC Till.
I am the host with the most profound.
I am Asmarai. What's happening, world?
What up? This is the Boom Bap Chat number 98. Welcome, everyone. It is sponsored unofficially by our good friends at Everybody's Records in Cincinnati, Ohio. Go see them. They have a great selection of vinyl, tapes, they have books, all kinds of great stuff, CDs. You know, I'm a CD head. If you can't check them out live in person, you know, we got the digital internets, the interwebs. You can check them out there at everybodysrecords.com. Yo, guys, I know we're working on the book, we're working on music, but all week, man, I've been listening to Blue Mind State. I've been listening to some Roots. I've been listening to this new project by Shorty Nomaz. I got a lot of Shorty Nomaz going on in the house right now, all week long, getting ready for and watching interviews, getting ready for tonight. So that's what I've been on lately. And Profan, what have you been on, man?
Trying to get my writings done for the book. No, yes. Man, but I mean, really, that for real. And I've been really into this. I've been into that, the Midnight Marauders, the Tribe Called Quest, Midnight Marauders, and People's Instinctive Travels on Paths of Rhythms. Like, yeah, man, I'm still on that. I was on that last week, but I'm still in it. So that's what I'm on. What you on over there, Ayo?
Man, spending time with family, man. My mom been in town, so just been really, you know, spending time with my mother. Just been having some really good conversations about family and stuff like that. And yeah, man, been thinking about the last two articles I gotta write for the Native Tongues book. So yeah, that's all I've been on this week, man. Glad I ain't got no classes, no more homework. So nice. Man, I'm happy, man. I'm good. I'm in good space, man.
Good. Well, I know we're all in good space tonight with our guest in the building. I'm going to bring her on the screen and introduce her this evening. Our guest tonight jumped onto the scene through two legendary crews on two incredible albums. She has probably the most iconic ad-lib ever that would be going to be quoted randomly by people to this day around the world. Her contribution to that album, Blue Mind State, is one of hip-hop's finest supporting role acts ever, in my opinion. She's back on the musical scene with a recent project, has more in store. We're gonna get into all of that right now. So please join me as we welcome to the Boom Bap Chat, Shorty Nomaz. Yeah. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So good to have you on here. As I said in the little intro piece, you know, that role that you played in Blue Mind State, although it was short, you know, you didn't have a lot, like a bunch of verses all over the place. Mm-hmm. I feel like you took it already, the album would have been dope, but like, I feel like your presence just made it even more dope. Like the layer that you added to it, you know, it's just, I don't know, you just added something that was just so fresh. And I've been enjoying this album and your presence on that album for, you know, whatever, 20 something years now. So absolutely. Thank you so much, you know, for your contribution to that album and your contribution to hip hop in general. So flowers and props to you.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, I don't want to, you know, that's in the past, right. But, you know, it's still very meaningful to a lot
absolutely.
Of us out there.
No, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to start there. I heard in an interview where you said you were pretty much at every Blue Mind State session, which yes. kind of blew my mind. I was like, whoa, every session? That's crazy. So I'm curious to know, what was like your understanding of the Native Tongues at that point?
So I was a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, who wasn't, you know?
Right.
3 feet high and rising. But I mean, honestly, I was like maybe 14, 15. I was young, yeah. young. You know, then. So funny story, I remember totally had no business being there, but backstage, not after the show at the hotel, totally innocent, like just, you know, 14, 15 year old running around, and we didn't know anyone. No one was trying to holler at us. We were babies. But I remember being on the elevator, literally riding up and down because, you know, I'm a baby. And De La Soul came on and it was like, oh, you know, I was a fan, you know, like it was like, this is, I mean, I was rhyming, but definitely not on a higher level, you know. So, you know, to actually like be around them to the extent that I was around them, you know, 2 years later, was just nuts, you know. So
yeah. And I heard that Paz, before he invited you to be on the album, he had not heard you spit. Mm-mm. So was it, do you feel like it was just like camaraderie? Like there was just a vibe between you and the crew that made them feel secure enough to say, hey, you should get on this album?
It was really a vibe between me and Paz. I mean, okay. You know, when I first started kicking it with De La, it was me kicking it with Paz, you know?
Yeah.
And it, you know, it was just friends, but we would go to the movies, we would go to the mall. Mm. You know, if they had like meetings or like an appearance or like they were going to a show, like I would just come along. It wasn't business at all. You know, it was just hanging out, you know. And I was just always there. I think that's what kind of lent me to being there for all the sessions. I was just always there, you know. So I would just come up for Philly and I would just stay. But the way like the house was, it was like Paz and his, it was like the boys. It was like Paz and his brothers. It was Gracie. It was like Fife might be there sometimes. Like it was just a bunch of young people at the house, you know? So everyone just hung out, you know?
So. When I heard you say that you were at every session, I was like, man, I wish I could have been Shorty Nomas back then. just to be at those sessions. I'm just like,
wow, I wish I was there, man.
Yeah,
that's dope.
It was like, I want to say part of it was summer. Maybe. And then like we're going to the studio.
Yeah.
Wow.
We went to the studio. But it was just like that a lot around that time. You know, obviously things are so different now digitally with Pro Tools and stuff. So everyone had to go to the studio. Because it was the same thing at D&D when I lived with the Beat Miners. I mean, I'd literally run it. I remember one time just running into the room and I needed to use the phone in the B room. And like I turn around and Jay-Z's just sitting there at the table and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, it's fine. You know, use the phone or, you know, I missed that studio vibe where anybody could walk through the door, you know, from moment to moment. You don't have that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of anybody, did you have, what was your relationship like with Prince Paul?
Oh, we were cool. Paul was older than us. So, and he would come out on certain dates, but he wasn't like out on tour all the time. But Large Professor and Skep Anselm, they were on tour with us all the time.
So. Now, who exactly is Skep Anselm?
Oh, he's just a cool dude. So, you know, I think he was just there to be there. Like he wasn't a DJ or anything, but I know he was there all the time. So.
I know he gets props too, but I never really knew exactly who.
He produced.
On
Tribe's album.
Cool. I got a few more specific questions, but Ayomaz, Profan, anything so far you want to ask about?
Man, I'm still trying to get over this. She was at this every session, man. Like, I just can't imagine. I'm like you, Till. My one question is, especially since you're still releasing music today, can you speak about what that influence of being around all of those guys then, how that in turn, you know, how you use that energy today, or if you still use that energy today when you're putting out music?
Well, I guess, I mean, if you're going to rhyme, you're going to rhyme, right? You know?
Right.
I don't think I necessarily. I mean, I started initially immediately rhyming in booths. So, you know, that was just normal to me. You know, I mean, to be truthful, I was kind of spoiled in this industry to have come in at such an early age, and I'm with De La recording at Battery and Electric Lady, and then I'm in the studio with the Roots, and, you know, so I never really had that early, you know, that grind, you know, in like somebody's basement somewhere, you know, like I didn't have that, you know. So I was a little spoiled that way. You know, being at every session isn't all that as glamorous that is as it is, because first of all, schedule wise, they did a lot of overnights. I mean, we would go in the studio and the sun would be up, and then it would be night, and then we'd wake up and leave and the sun would be up and it would be morning. Wow. So what I remember of it is a lot of sleeping on the couch, you know, and like, if you see me, be over here, you know, ordering good takeout, and, you know, the good thing, you know, the Roots, living in Philly, I wasn't at a lot of their sessions like that. And I lived with the Roots. I lived with Amir for like a few months because we had the same management. Mm-hmm. It was like a house with Jazzy Fat Nasties and Amir, Questlove. But I never went to the Roots sessions like that. You know, maybe because I was in Philly and I had options. I'm going to go to hang out with my girlfriends. Or I'm going to go here or there. Whereas De La, I was with them. I wasn't going to like explore New York by myself at 16, you know, so. But it was a lot of sleeping on couches.
Yeah. Wow.
That's dope.
Yeah. I'll ask anything.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions. Like, Philly is one of my favorite cities in the world. So really? first time I went to Philly, I was like, yeah, I fell in love with So I was wondering, what side of Philly are you from?
Like north.
North Philly. Okay. So like, what is, like, I know how Chicago helped me develop into the person I am. How would you say Philly helped you develop into the woman that you are today? Like, what is it about Philly that, or do you feel like Philly played a huge part in your development, both as a person and as an artist as well?
To be honest, Philly is a bunch of crabs in a barrel. It still is. Okay. You know, no one wants to see anyone else shine in Philly. If you look at my career, everything I ever did and the people who put me on were in New York. You know, the only reason I was even on the Roots album was we had the same management. And I was Shorty Nomas from De La. So the Roots were coming out and it was like, oh shit, let's get Shorty from De La on our album. You know, but you never saw me do anything else with the Roots again, and I lived with you.
Go
figure, you know, but every opportunity I ever had, I had to leave Philly too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Philly sound like crazy. Chicago.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's but it's like that in every, you know, field. You know what I mean? Like, just people in Philly just aren't collective as a whole.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. Wow. Sound like Chicago.
I feel like a lot of urban cities, you know. Yeah. Cultural thing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
I mean, for me, Balloon Mind State is like one of my favorite albums, and like Till said, you are a huge reason why that is. Just your presence and like your ad libs, even like when you say, yeah, don't say that again, like all those like little ad libs. Yeah. Like that, like,
it was crazy because like on IMIB, you know, was just go in and do it a bunch of times and we'll take the best one.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, I'm like, you used all of them.
I wanted to ask you about that. Do you know why they did that? Was it just them being them, like, oh, that sounds dope, keep it?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
You know,
yeah. I know there's some sort of deep meaning behind the
well, they do have a lot of deep meanings. That's why you never know.
Yeah. I didn't realize till recently. I mean, I'm sure I read the line. I don't know. Chip Fu was on there, but I'm not sure what he actually says on there. But were you in there when Chip Fu was in there? No. I'm a big
Chip Fu. I don't know. Yeah. You have to understand too. I was a senior in high school when I recorded that album.
Oh, wow.
So I was, in the beginning, I was trying to juggle that. And then, but I was at a new school and I didn't know anyone. So it's not like I had my friends and, you know.
Yeah.
So I just straight went to the guidance counselor and I was like, check this out. I ain't coming back. So, wow. I'm busy. You know, I can't keep going to New York, coming back. And then the school was far from my house too. It was like 40 minutes to get there. I just was like throw me a bone. So they ended up, it was like around the third marking period. They sent all my stuff home, all the teachers for all my classes sent everything home. I had to turn it in by the end of the marking period. And then they sent me my diploma at home.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Friends. So I didn't really care about prom and going on tour. Like,
yeah, I mean, you're going on tour with De La Soul.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. So on that song, I Am I Be, I wanted to ask you about this. I've heard in interviews where you essentially said that like native tongues wasn't like really a thing at the time when you were recording Blue Mind State. Mm-mm. Right. So when you do you remember hearing Paz's verse for I Am I Be?
No, but no. Enlighten me.
No, no, just because he kind of gets into it. Like he talks about, yeah, I don't lost him quote, let me see sure.
I don't know specifics, but yeah. I know it was not a thing. And it was right. Very, very adamantly, it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So that's all I know, you know. And I obviously didn't ask questions. I was so young back then, you know, but I just know it was like, we're not.
Right. Oh, but wow. But they were still, well, we were still hanging cool out.
Yeah, we were still, yeah. You know, like Africa and like, you know, everybody would be around, you know, yeah. Everyone, Latifah, everybody would still be around each other. So it wasn't right. Like it was beef. Well, let me say that. I don't think it was like, it wasn't like public, like F-U beef. No. Right. I think it was just some personalities.
Yeah. Or,
you know, button heads.
From the outside looking in and giving lots of time, I've always, like in recent years, I thought, you know, what happened was you had like all these different groups with huge success, tours, all this limelight and stuff, and an industry that's not very cohesive, not very, you know, nice sometimes. And, but these were good dudes. And so they weren't like at each other's throats, but at the same time, they couldn't really be that same, like, you know, just fun, getting together, making music crew like they were, you know, before, because of all this, you know, being in the midst of all the corruption of the industry and all the nonsense, but they were still cool because they were just good dudes. That was kind of that's my perception.
So from what I know now as an adult and hearing stories and what I know factually, you have a lot of very strong personalities amongst the group in native tongues, and everybody's there. You have a lot of stars. Hip hop, when native tongues first started, is here, and people don't even think hip hop's gonna last or be a thing. And then you have some groups who get to a commercial success level that some others didn't, and that creates some animosity. And if you think you're a star, and I think I'm a star, and I think we're equal, and 89 hip hop is not 92 hip hop. You know, 89 hip hop is dope, and you go do shows and you make money. 92 hip hop is like, you know, Sprite commercial money.
Yeah.
You
know? Facts.
Yeah. You know, and so I think there were some feelings about opportunities, money, level of success that other. Yeah, totally.
That makes sense.
And I don't think, again, that's not anyone's fault. That's right. Just where hip hop was at different right. stages of, I mean, look at it now. You could be part of Native Tongues in 2022 and get, you know, $110,000 for a show if you're hot, you know, right. That was unheard of, you know, back then. So times change. And so I don't think it was anybody's fault. I think it was just different eras of hip hop and sure. opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. And people probably just trying to figure it all out and being human. Yeah, and
people also being, you know, feeling left out or jealous. Yeah. Or, you know, there's just human emotion that also sure. plays into that. You know?
Right. Yeah, definitely. So then fast forwarding to Stakes Is High. Do you remember the verse that Paz spit about the native tongues being officially reinstated? Do you remember hearing this? Because I was curious to know what you thought, you know, Paz basically, this was 96 now, on Stakes Is High. And he has this line where he says, the native tongues has officially been
reinstated.
Yeah. I remember hearing that thinking, I didn't know they were, you know, I didn't know they broke up, but yes, they're back. You know?
And at that point, who's native tongues?
Yeah. Are you
right.
People 92? One prior, and you're forgetting about everyone else. I don't know. I think Black Sheep is an official member, but you know, even Mos Def was kind of came out with De La early. You know what I mean? So who at that point is then native tongue or not native tongue? I know I've always been referred to as a native tongue affiliate. You know what I mean? Mm. So I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, the fans, you know, we argue and debate.
Oh, I love it.
But, yeah, I love it too. But at the end of the day, it seems like the native tongues weren't like, let's get together, let's get out the pad and pen, hear who, you know, let's state who is a native tongue member, who is not a native tongue member. It was just, you know, dope people making dope music and just kind of, you know, riding on the same vibe.
Listen, I feel the same way. And I was like, I mean, and listen, I talk to Moni all the time, you know, like, you know, me and Latifah are cool. Like, everyone knows each other and it's cool. So I said to Love the other, I was like, damn, I was like, it'd be so dope if it was a native tongue tour. I was like, do you know how much money you need, you know? But when you got people asking for astronomical amounts of money because they feel like they're shit.
I don't know how that works. It would be dope. I don't know either. It would be so dope. Wouldn't it be dope? That would be crazy. It would be nuts if you did like a festival and then like all the opening acts, Holics, and you know, and Most Def, and you know, Talib, and Common, and all of that. Far Side, and yeah, all of that. Somebody would have to have a large bankroll.
Well, speaking of a large bankroll, I don't have that. However, when De La Soul crowdsourced their last album, they raised over $500,000 relatively quickly. $500,000. Now, I don't know how far that goes, but the thought I had was, because I really, like, a tour would be dope for sure. I would love a Native Tongues album. So I thought, you know what? Somebody out there that has the connections should just figure out who the person is that can get verses from all the Native Tongues members and then just crowdsource that sucker and then just pay all the artists whatever they charge for a verse or whatever or studio time and just pay for the whole thing. I bet you could crowdsource a Native Tongues album because you know how many people are out there that just love the Native Tongues and would just love to give $10, $20
to been before, you know.
I think that would take, for me as a fan of Native Tongues, I feel like that would take away from the aesthetic of, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, do the funding part, but I would want to like see Shorty Nomads, like Q-Tip, Moni Love in the studio, like, you know, like the old days, like, you know what I'm saying? Like building and just like that music came out organically.
Yeah, you're making a great point because a lot of that did happen because you just happened to be in a studio. Yes. Like my zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz on on the roof was really just because I was there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta get Shorty for the zzzzzzzzz. You know what I mean? Right. And how many artists were like, oh, so-and-so's working in you know, Studio B. And it's like, I'll hop on a verse or, you know, so you're absolutely right. Because you know what would happen? You would have this song and everybody would record it somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yep.
And you wouldn't get that vibe.
Yep.
You wouldn't get that We Are the World vibe. Where, you know,
exactly. And I felt like that was the magic of y'all music. Not only like individually, like Tribe doing their own thing, but how the groups like Cross did things, like you would hear Dave on doing a chorus for a War Tour, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what I mean. On Balloon Mind State, I don't know how much of them were planned or it was just, you know, to be dope, Shorty, come here, you know,
right? Yeah.
You know, so if we were in this digital age. I don't know how much would be done, you know.
See, I would like the funding to source a spot somewhere in a remote location, and all of y'all just, you know, cooking together, back sleeping on the couch again, and just cooking, just working. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but here you just named it, sleeping on the couch again. Some niggas ain't sleeping on the couch. They would have. And you know, that magic of what made you fall in love with Native Tongues in the first place is that realness, you know, on the couch and just want to give your best because you're new and this is hot. Yeah. And, you know, now it's like, I'm a star. I need a suite.
That's yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, Till.
I mean, you know, but I mean, you know.
That's the one thing I loved about all of you. Oh, sorry.
I was gonna say people go up and they're, you know, exposed to different things, and then you have a different income bracket, and you're like, I'm not staying at the Motel 6. I'm staying over here. And you know, then you have different levels of, you know, what I'll do and what I won't do, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll tell you what Swizz Beatz and who does verses with Swizz? The name is
I think it's what's his name?
Timbaland.
Yeah, Timbaland. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Have those guys. We'll get them on the podcast next week. We'll talk to those guys, and we'll just look. They got the money to do it. Just pause verses for a minute and just do a Native Tongues Month. You just get the whole crew together and pay whatever you need to pay them. You know, crowdsource the rest.
Okay.
So, Sherry's like, nah, I'm gonna have but this is the thing. Like, as a fan, you can hold on to some hope. Amazing.
Yeah, and listen, I'm a fan too. You know what I mean? Yeah. So. I would love it. I think a show would be just nuts, but
I think so too.
A girl can dream. A fan can dream, right?
A fan can dream. That's right. That's right. All right. Listen, we do want to get into your new music. Profound, Almas, any last minute questions about the music of the past?
Man, I got so many questions, but we can go to the next segment.
And we do.
I got so many questions.
Just for our listeners, we do have an interview with Shorty Nomas that our guy Jay Hill did not too long ago. That's going to be in our book. So there's some great insights there that you all will get with the Native Tongues Review book. All right, so we'll do this a little fun round before we get to the new music. It's just this or that, and you can say both. So I'll just throw out two different things at you. And you tell us which one you prefer, and if you can't figure it out, you can always say both. All right, here we go. First one, house with a yard or a condo and no yard?
Is the house in the city? Sorry.
Is the house, it's not like...
I would say the urban house in the city with a yard, but if the house is in the suburbs, you can give me the condo and no yard.
Okay, all right, cool. I got you. All right, next one here. A vegan veggie wrap or homemade pizza?
Vegan veggie wrap.
Okay, right on. And a bonus, does pineapple belong on pizza?
No, man. Don't you too.
You said no? Okay, all right, okay.
That's all a right. Now cipher, bro.
All right.
My OCD will go nuts.
Simple space. So I was gonna say simple space or like lots of stuff, like nice stuff, pictures on the wall. Okay, so you like the simplicity. All right, we got a few easy ones out of the way. This is probably the hardest decision you'll ever make in your life. Midnight Marauders or Low End Theory? And you have to get this right.
Midnight Marauders, because I was on tour with that.
Okay. All right.
It was easy for me.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Next one, going out or staying in?
Staying in.
Okay. Last one, you can expand on this one. If you could own a spot, a house, a condo, any property, anywhere in the world, where would you own it and what would you do with it?
It would be in Canada. It would be a lake house. It would be acreage. It would be self-sufficient. I would have goats, chickens, and some other animals, but it would be like, leave me alone and you might not see me for 10 years and I would be straight. And lots of guns.
Yes, though. Okay.
Is it like a what? What was the last part?
She said biscuits, bro. Lots of guns, bro.
You know, oh, see my strap.
Yo.
Straps, bro.
That reminds me. I think it was you that said that you have a lot of conspiracy theories.
Oh, I do.
Oh, can you share one of the most outlandish conspiracy theories that you
see? But with? I don't think my theories are conspiracy. I think it's just
real. Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
not conspiracy. I think slavery still exists. I think it's just changed the name, and I don't think it's right anymore. I think it's poor, rich and poor. Like, they're okay with enslaving poor white people too. I think that I'm the prepper too. So that's why I like the whole conspiracy theory. Like, prior to COVID and prior to like shit hitting the fan, I was the one that was like, oh, we need to do this. Oh, and I'm telling y'all, we need to get that island somewhere and we need to do this. We need to do that. And then when COVID was like creeping up, you know, it was like, oh shit, you were right. Like, I'm trying to tell you. So yeah.
That's dope.
I love hearing you talk about I think it was Forks Over Knives, the documentary. Forks Over Knives and just the vegan lifestyle. Because
I think living in America too, this again, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory because I live it. Like just the fact that we don't have free healthcare, we're the only like, you know, developed nation that doesn't have free healthcare. I think it's in their interest to poison our food because then they need us to be sick because if we're not sick, then we can't keep the health insurance companies and these big, huge medical systems.
Exactly.
So if you look in other countries, they'll ban things that they put in our food here freely because they put the bill. So they don't want you to be sick because if you're sick, it's going to be more money they got to pay. So here, they need you to be sick.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I first moved to Canada, my wife, because my wife is Canadian, she's you know Canadian Caribbean, and she was
Congratulations,
it was a no-brainer because she was thinking about moving to Chicago, and I was like, nah, like I want to come there, I want to try something different because I was, you know, kind of tired of what, you know, what's going on in Chicago with the shootings and stuff. I was like, death was just getting too close.
Yeah.
And so when I first got there, my wife was like, yo, we got to take this run real quick. And I went to go get a health card. And she was like, everybody is like, when you become like, even if you're not a citizen, because I'm a permanent resident. Okay. And as a permanent resident, I get a health card. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and I was just like, yo, that's crazy. Like, you know, in order to get a health card in Chicago, you got to have employment. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't have employment, then you don't have healthcare. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like amazed at that, just something that small. I was like, wow, everybody is entitled to healthcare? She was like, yeah.
So Subway was putting like yoga mat material in the bread in America. And they stopped it, but they were. You can Google it. Like it was, you know, facts. But this was, so it was like more of a preservative kind of thing for the bread. In other countries, it was banned. So why is it okay for us to eat?
Exactly.
You know, my son has, you know, severe food allergies. He's allergic to anaphylaxis to eggs. So like growing up, you know, EpiPen, if you don't have health insurance, that's like $400.
Yeah.
It's not $400. It costs like $5 for you to make it. And if you go to another country, it's like $30, $20, you know?
Yeah.
Insulin. People need insulin to live and they can't afford it, you know? So it's all BS. So again, I go back to they need you to be sick because
exactly
how are, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield at all these places, you know, how are they gonna, you know, make money? And they pay because they lobby, so they're putting money in these politicians' pockets. So you know,
I mean, a good documentary to watch is sick.
Are those conspiracy theories?
Those are not conspiracy. I don't consider that. That's truth.
Yeah, that's true, right.
Right. So.
That's actual fact. You know what I'm saying?
Like really into the world I live in. And I'm super disappointed in our country. I think that we're literally, we potentially could be like watching the fall of the American civilization. And people think that sounds crazy, right? But if you look at like Roman, if you were to go to Greece right now and see Colosseum, these major temples that are crumbling, I bet you the Romans never thought they shit was going to end either.
Exactly.
You know? So at some point, Egypt, it's a tourist attraction. You think the Egyptian pharaohs thought that it was ever going to end?
Right.
No.
Right.
So things, big civilizations end, you know?
Right.
You know, I don't know. What do we look like in 50 to 100 years with everything that's going on? And listen, I'm all about capitalism. You know, make your money if you want to grind out. But if you don't want to grind out, and I'm okay also with paying, you know, a fair share for the people who can't work.
Yeah.
You know, as hard as I'm gonna hustle. So
yeah.
And even like the educational system in America is different. Like educational system here is very affordable compared to the education in the States. Like if you wanna, you know, go to higher, you know, post secondary or whatever, you don't have to like sell your soul or like be forever in debt in order to be educated, because they feel like an educated society is a healthier society. You know what I'm saying? So even in that aspect, like, I feel like America, I agree 100% with everything.
Look at all the kids in inner city public schools that didn't have laptops prior to the pandemic. Exactly. And everyone said it's because they can't afford it, even though technology is the future and you need coding, robotics and everything else.
Exactly.
To the future. Everyone said you can't afford it. When you needed them damn kids to go back to school, you found the money. Mm-hmm. Give exactly. every single kid in America a laptop.
Yeah. Wow.
You could. Yeah. I mean, you could have did it. You just didn't.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Same with healthcare. We could do it. We could do it.
Yeah.
100%.
Easy.
Yeah. Not easy. Ukraine. Not that Ukraine doesn't need help, but we could do it if we wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Absolutely. Totally. Wow. That's, man. Thank you for that. Yeah. Those are not conspiracies, man.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Actual
right.
fact for real.
Yes.
Yeah. That's real.
Also, actual fact is your new music. We want to jump into. You recently said something that I was like, man, this is so dope. You said, if you're still asking for an album 20 years after 20 years, I owe it to you.
Yeah. I guess. This was for the fans. It wasn't for me. I care less.
And that's really dope because, like, as a fan of your work, it's like, you don't have to do that. You know, you don't owe me anything, you know, but the fact that you're like, nah, this guy and all these fans, like, they still want it after 20 years. I'm gonna, you know, give it to them.
Y'all, I owe it to y'all.
Yeah, like, I think that's so dope.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, it was a perfect time. It was the pandemic. I was home. It was obviously things are easier now to, you know, record and, you know, do what you gotta do without a studio. But yeah, I was like, Here goes nothing.
Yeah,
yes. That's why the album is called that. And so it was that, and it was also my son was starting to get into music.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give him the opportunity to kind of experience the process and, you know, the same things I got to experience when I was young. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I know, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to give that to him.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And I know that part of it, what I've heard is that, you know, the single and the B-side you put out, you know, years ago, like, had a resurgence, and my man Hector said I was just bumping like this the other day. Straight gym salute, Queen. So shout out to Hector.
Thank you, Hector. And yeah, you know, so I think people were in the house. I think it was time to rediscover music. Somebody had put out that single, you like, it was all in one on YouTube, and I think over, like, it's been out for, like, it's been a YouTube thing for like 14 years, but it was only at like 2 million. Well, let me tell you, over the last 3 years is over 10 million. During the pandemic, I got caught up into an algorithm on YouTube where YouTube was promoting the shit out of me. So YouTube was behind me. So, and it was people who were like, I mean, literally, if I read the comments, it's like, I had never heard of you and I was about to press skip and my finger slipped, but then I let it play and I was like, oh shit, what's this? You know, it was people who didn't even know I was on De La Soul's album. So that was another part of me feeling confident about putting the album out, because I was like, well, it's like 17 and 21 year olds who had never heard of me before and they want more. Yeah. So what's the difference if I was a new artist? Like, you know, I have my fan base, but I also have new people that are checking for me. So I was like, okay. And we sold out the album. So
that's dope.
That's so dope.
And the album Here Goes Nothing, obviously you can stream it all over the place. Do you have any more vinyl, or is that what you sold out of?
Yeah, no, it's gone.
Gone. Wow. Did you press it on CD or just vinyl?
Just vinyl.
Okay.
That's dope.
Yeah, that is super
cool. Sold out, and then they were like, well, let's do it again. And I was like, okay.
How many did you press up, if you don't mind me asking?
Not too many. It was only 300. Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still dope.
Can I ask you, why did you make that decision? I love that approach.
Digital. That's the label. That's what they do.
Okay.
And they're in Germany, so they have like, from what I understand, what I've learned, pressing vinyl in America is hard because a lot of these companies that used to press vinyl, they shut down. It's just not really a thing anymore. And the few companies that do press vinyl, you can do it. It's just going to take forever.
Yes.
It's not going to be. So I think with Vinyl Digital, they're constantly pressing vinyl. So they are a good customer. And plus, they're in Germany. You know what I mean? So, but they're churning out vinyl all the time.
Yeah.
I just think it makes the art. I just think it makes the art more like art. You know what I mean? Like, it makes it more like a collector's item, if you will. Like, you know what I mean? And once it's gone, it's gone. Like, sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, some people, the sound is different too. So
yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wow, that's dope.
So the project is Here Goes Nothing. If you're tuning in and you've not heard this project, go listen to this project. It's super dope. It has production from the Beat Miners, which I was very happy to see. They're two of my favorite, like one of my favorite producer duos ever. Has production on there from J Zone, which is super dope. DJ
doesn't do production anymore.
That's right. Do you know why? I remember seeing a headline about this, but I don't.
He's just into he has a group and he's into his right. drumming. And yeah, I don't know. He's so dope.
Yeah.
I recorded those songs in 2007 too. They weren't even new.
That's amazing to me. They sound fresh. They sound really fresh.
They were always different though. To me, they were always a little ahead of their time. So.
Yeah. And it also features production from Shorty Nomas's son, Jay Law, which is super dope.
Nice.
Yeah. That's really cool that you had him featured on there.
Yes. So he's working on the next album.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about that. So the next album, so you're working on another album.
Yes.
Okay. Why do you say it like that?
Yeah, is this a hard process for you?
So writing this first of all, they asked me for an album and I was like, I can do an EP. I don't know if I can do an album. So yeah. I could definitely write 5 or 6 songs. That's easy. It turned into an album because like I said, I had all this stuff from 2007 that I hadn't used yet. Hold on 1 second. That I hadn't used yet. So I was like, oh, well, I have all this stuff I haven't used. So I might as well just use this for, make an album.
Yeah.
That was easy. So now the idea of doing an album, and it was the pandemic. So I didn't have anything else to do. I had no distractions. Now I'm busy. So yeah. I'm like, so now I'm just juggling a lot, So luck has given, and luck's just, I don't know what's going on with him, like his beats have been nuts lately.
Yeah.
Like so dope, and I hate holding up people's beats, so sometimes I might love something, but if I don't know if I'm gonna write to it right away, I'm not gonna be like, I want that, because you could give it to somebody else and make money, so I have these beats that I have, they are mine. And I have to sit, have to write to them, but I'm like, I got that guy. What am I gonna do it? Like, I'm trying to like knock a few things off of my plate. And I think I'm just gonna sit down. I'm gonna take like a week and I'm just gonna knock stuff out. I did start. So I was in a studio last week. Okay. So I did a song for Luck for another girl, which Pos is on it. So it's the first time you'll hear Shorty Nomas and Pos since Balloon Mind. Yeah. And
nice.
While we were there, I at least put all the music that I had so far, we at least, it's in the studio, it's there, it stems and everything. And I did record a few verses. So I just have to go and just knock it out.
You can do it. You can do it. Will there be, so for those tuning in that don't know, so J-Law has beats on it. Yeah, yes. The new album.
So it's so it's J-Law and Luck. I don't want a lot.
Staying focused. And for those that don't know, Luck is Pastanusa's brother. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we, it's crazy. My real estate investment firm, he's my partner. We have a lot going on.
Yeah.
But the label wants me to work with some of their producers out of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Which they're dope. They're like a lo-fi kind of vibe, which I think is like good for like the You Like My Style fans and, I'll throw a few of those in there too.
Yeah, dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what else are you doing besides music? And you say you got real estate going on. It look like you have a lot of multiple, like maybe streams of income, not to be in your pocketbook, nothing like that,
because I'm all about, I'm all about people having a B plan and thinking about generational wealth and investing. So I'm currently looking for a tenant, which I hate. So that's one thing. But then I have a whole renovation going on right now. I'm talking about like a full gut. And so it's just like, I have an inspection tomorrow. Like, so you're, I'm like constantly, you know, moving around and, oh, what sink are we going to use? What tub are we going to use? There's a leak in the basement. You got to put a valve on it, you know? So my husband helps me with that too, but I'm like, I'm all over the place. And it was tax time, but tax, like, I'm like really running a business, you know? So that, that. And then a mom, you know, I'm like, what are you doing this summer? You know, we got to go to this open house for this program, you know, so I got to do that. And then I'm like, what are we eating tonight? We're eating out or I got to cook dinner, and you know, so, and then hip hop.
That's
I juggle. I'm up. That's why I said past my bedtime. I usually am up at like 7 getting coffee.
That's cool. Well, maybe this comment can inspire you a little bit. This is from our good friend, the professor, Stephen Dunn. He says, thank you. I love your new album. I'm a 40-year-old dude, and it made me feel like a kid again who is full of creativity. I was stuck on some parts of a book I'm writing, and your album gave me some buoyancy I didn't know I needed.
I love it. I love it. And that's why I wrote inspiration, you know, like I be an inspiration to other people, you know. Like I said, you know, like even from a financial perspective, it's real estate, you know what I mean? So like, you know, I didn't need to put an album out, you know. So this was for the fans, you know, and so if I could inspire them and, you know, they can hear something and maybe it's an artist. Listen, I know I listen to dope artists and I'm like, oh, right now. Sometimes I gotta pull out my phone and like, because dope lyrics will make inspire me to think of something. It might be the same thing, but in a different way, or it might inspire me to, you know, say something else. So I literally, that's how I'll write a rhyme. Like I'll just type down all these different quotes and then I'll put them all together into a rhyme. So listen, if I didn't have music, you know, I don't know if it would have inspired, you know. So if I can do that for up and coming artists or, you know, anybody in any industry, you know, I won.
Totally. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, before we go to celebrating some artists that you appreciate, Io Mas, Profan, any last questions you want to get in there?
Who did Identity Crisis? Because that joint's in my ear right now.
He's sick. You hear it in the studio, like the individual stems broken down.
Hey, for people out there that may not know Jay Zone's work, I really recommend you go check it out. He's got these hip hop albums that, for one, the beats are phenomenal. He's just a beat head. But there's some of the most hilarious albums. He's just got such a sense of humor. And just they're just so fun to listen to. So I recommend you checking them out. Cool. Io Mas, anything?
Man, like I said, man, I got so I could just, man, I just want to pick her brain, man.
I know. Like,
we have Shorty Nomads on the show, man. Like, I never in a million years thought I'd be having a conversation with Shorty Nomads. Like, yo. Like,
is Shorty Nomads still alive? I'm like, yeah, I'm alive.
And man, I'm trying to pick one out the mini that I have. So what would you say, first of all, like, what are you reading? Are you a reader? Would you consider yourself like a reader?
I literally just went to Barnes & Noble. My son asked me to take him to Barnes & Noble. So I bought this like dope ass book. It's the history of Frederick Douglass. And it's pictures and stories, but it's very visual. So that's really dope. And so I don't know if anyone has watched, drawing a blank, the new show on HBO, The Gilded Age.
Oh no, I haven't even heard of that.
Okay, so here's the thing about The Gilded Age. I love period flicks anyway. Like I'm like a Downton Abbey, Bridgerton, right? All that.
Dope.
The Gilded Age is so dope because Sally Richardson is a producer, and they not only touch on white, like, elite in the Rockefeller Vanderbilt era, but they touch on the black elite in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Like, black family. And here's the piece of it, too. Like, I listen to the podcast that goes with it after every episode. They're based on real historical characters, like black people own pharmacies, right? So you can look up the real history of, like, one of the scenes, the white girl who's, like, super rich, and her family is, like, you know, mega, mega, mega rich. She goes to the black girl's house with, like spare shoes that they had. And the maid of the black house opens the door, and it's like, oh, shit, maybe I should have brought these shoes, you know? And the black elite mother is like, oh, you thought we needed some shoes? You
know, like, yeah. Wow.
So it really gets into, like, our perception of what black people were back then.
Yes.
You know, it really gets into black elite during that time. So the other book I bought was The Harlem Renaissance.
Okay.
So just really getting into black wealth in
no doubt.
1900s.
Yeah. That's amazing.
My twist right
That's
now.
Amazing. That's
I
amazing.
Suggest everyone watch it. I think people are like, these white rich people know. Like, it's dope. Like, they really touch on white and black and the relationships and so much. Like, it's really
What's the name of the show again? I gotta write this down. What's the name of the show? Beach.
HBO Max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, we just ended our HBO. I'm gonna have to get it again, bro. The Gilded Age. That's what it's called.
Yeah, I'm with the
And I'm about to renew that thing tonight. Thank you.
And you know, like, I speak to, like, a lot of the black historians who worked on it, and they said, you know, I was asked to be on it, and I was like, I hope they do it right, you know. And they, you know, like, the black historians are like, I was so impressed that they really wanted to tell these stories. What mainstream media do they show?
Yeah.
The black elite.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and exactly. She's like, you know, historically speaking, you can't tell one story without telling the other. You know,
absolutely.
It's really, really dope. So wow. I recommend it to everybody.
Super.
All right. Good. And my last question. Sorry. My last question before we go to the next segment. Pasta News is my favorite MC of all times. And people be like, what? Pasta News are like, bro, just go back and listen. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I want to know, because you had such a close relationship with Pasta News, what is it that you learned from Pasta News, like, as an MC? Is it anything that you picked up from him? Or any conversations that you had that was kind of, like, life-changing that you could share with us?
Not so much as an MC, but just from, like, an artist standpoint. Like, you know, we didn't have social media back then, right? And so I'm really into marketing and really, like, the personality traits of human beings and why they make, you know, consumer decisions. Some people will buy something they don't need just because of, you know, some internal, you know, thing. And I remember one day we were going to leave the house and Pos was dressed or something. And he said something like, oh, should I wear this or should I wear that? And he just said, oh, it doesn't matter. He was like, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, they'll still love it. You know what I mean? So he was basically saying, like, you know, people make decisions, like, on popularity, which fast forward is social media. You know, if you have 18 million followers, you know, then you must be dope, you know. Well, they were Dayla. So what they did was dope, you know. If you wore a trash bag out, then you'd see a whole bunch of people rocking a trash bag.
Exactly.
So that's one thing I was like, oh, I was like, wow, like, people, yeah, he's right, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter because, you know, people are gonna be on it anyway, you know.
Yeah. Wow, that's so dope. Let's do.
Yeah, Pos is also my favorite MC, but I don't know if he wore a trash bag. I'm not sure if I'd be wearing a trash bag.
I mean,
in their eyes were bugging out.
Right, exactly.
You had the leather medallions. You had the number of the little triple five soul with the, you know, like a sleeve tied a string around over your head.
A lot of my fashion came from Tribe and De La, You know right. what I'm saying? I remember going to a De La Soul concert and people with Dave hat on and going to the store the next day trying to figure out what that was or what watch. Because he was a watch dude. Like, Dave had watches, bro.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, what kind of watch is that? I'm saying, like, I just, they basically set the trend for me as far as, like, dressing. Because it was, like, it was stuff that was accessible. It wasn't, like...
out of limits,
you know, they just took ordinary regular, you know what I mean. So that's what I loved about. I'm sorry, I'm fanning out right now. I'm gonna be quiet.
I love it. And it wasn't about like Gucci and Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, you know what I mean. They didn't. Yeah,
Nike and Reebok. And,
yeah, exactly. Right, it was just accessible. Right. It was accessible everyday gear, but they just freshed it up. Like they just did it their way. You know what I mean? Like Dave would come out with a hoodie, but one his sleeve would be, you know. Part of it will be on, and the other part you just see his t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like it was just, they was just, I just love the fact that they was just doing their own thing, and they was just like ordinary dudes doing extraordinary things. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
refreshing too. Like I feel bad for this generation because it was just having fun. We had so much fun.
Exactly.
Now it's like. Getting high.
Everybody's serious. Yeah.
How many bitches can I, you know, like relax.
Exactly. Yep.
Totally. Totally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, let's have some fun here. We'll transition to this segment, appreciating some artists that you appreciate. But before that, just wanted to shout out Ian Charles, who's a fan and who I think interviewed you for, I think it's HBD Media. If I got the letters correct.
Ian sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's super cool. And he knows more about hip hop than anyone I've ever met. But he says, great having Shorty Nomos on Boom Bap Chat. Solid, cohesive, and relevant new album. Also much respect to the beat miners, Jake Palomo, Jay Law, and Jay Zone. Your lyricism is always on point. I'm glad my vinyl arrived safe and sound from Vinyl Digital. So
thank you, Ian.
Yeah. So shout out to Ian. Ian's always putting us on with some really dope music. Appreciate you, Ian. So the final segment we do before our shout outs is we just basically want to appreciate some artists and have some fun. So I will throw up a name of an artist or a group on the screen, and your job is to take in the artist, breathe them in.
Okay.
And then try to summarize the feeling, the essence of this artist in one word or less.
Okay? One word or less. All right.
One word or less. Yeah. All right. Here we go. And I'll say it out loud for our podcast listeners. Okay. First artist is Biggie, the Notorious Big.
Flow. That's the first word that comes to mind.
Flow. Yeah. Yeah. He had incredible flow. Okay. Next one, Run the Jewels.
Conscious.
Okay. I like that.
Shout out Killer Mike, man.
Killer Mike. If you want to follow someone with lead, Killer Mike is going to be good.
Totally. Yeah, and I love it because that and then on the music tip, like LP is like such an innovator and such a creative force, you know.
So dope. Definitely. I'm like, that Ooh La La remix.
Yeah, that was dope. Next one, A Tribe Called Quest. Take your time.
Fun.
Right on. And speaking of A Tribe Called Quest, obviously, rest in power, rest in peace, the Fife Dawg.
Yes,
I love that you put Fife Dawg at the beginning of your new album.
Yes.
It was only right? Everyone was asking for a new album, including him. So I had it. So I was like, you know, how appropriate.
Yeah, that was dope. Props to you for doing that. All right, next one is Jay-Z.
Mogul.
Yep. All right, and the last
one is going to be all right.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. All right, last, it's only right that we save this group for last. Last one, De La Soul.
Family.
I love that.
Yeah, that's dope.
That's fire, though.
Even when we fight,
I love that. Yeah, that's great. Well, listen, Shorty Nomos, the last thing we do is it's a hip hop show, so we give shout outs. So we'll make our way around, we'll do our shout outs, and then we'll pass it off to you, and you can have the the final shout outs of the night. Sound good? Yep. All right. Cool. All right. Toss it over to Profound. Who you want to shout out tonight, man?
Man, Shorty Nomaz, we'll shout you out first. Thank you for coming through. Beautiful vibe, man. The album is dope. You were always dope, still dope. I'm glad you're still doing it. Glad you hustling. You on that way to being a mogul too. Shout out to the Profound Six. They better be in the bed. What's gonna be trouble? Shout out to my crew, you know, the Boom Bat Chat, IO, Till, Stowe, Bo, and man, that's it, man. Chicago, of course, as usual.
You already know.
Thanks, Pro. IO Moss.
Man, shout out Native Tongue, man. De La Soul, Shorty Nomaz for being here. I really appreciate you being here, your insight, your wisdom. I hope we stay in tune. I hope this not like a one-time thing. I hope we, like, you know what I'm saying, anytime you drop something or if you just want to come on, hope you come through. Shout out my Boom Bap Chat brothers. Shout out Chicago, Southside all day. And yeah, man, just this vibe tonight, man. Just the word that I like take away from tonight is just like just being yourself. It's cool to be yourself, and I feel like that's what Native Tongue represented. Yeah. So yeah, much respect to Shorty Nomaz for real. And Philly. Boom, boom. Shout out Philly, yeah, man. North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, the whole Philly, yo. That's my city, bro. Shout out Philly all day.
Yeah, thanks, Al Mas. I want to shout out Al Mas's mom. Shout out to you.
Yeah. Hanging
out. Shout out to all the families out there. You know, family's a good thing. Shout out to the entire Native Tongues, whether, you know, you're an extended member, an original member, don't know where you are in the mix. You know, if you're down making music with the crew at any time, shout out to you. I got all your albums upstairs. I love the Native Tongues. I love it all. So shout out to the Native Tongues. Shout out to Tone Spliff and Vic Monroe, yep, there it is, who are going to be our guests next Thursday. They have a super dope album out, so we're going to talk about that and more. And last but not least, and most importantly, Shorty Nomaz, shout out to you. Obviously, thank you for, you know, taking the time to be with us tonight, but thank you, you know, for your presence and your, you know, contribution to this thing we love, and to, you know, giving the fans what we want, like listening and saying, I'm going to go ahead and give this to them. I appreciate that. I appreciate that there's more coming. So thank you for being here tonight. And thank you for sharing some more of your talent and skills and yourself with the world. So thank you. And on that, we'll pass it to you for the final shout outs.
So my shout outs are to you guys for having me tonight. Shout out to everyone who tuned in, who cared. and shout out to just everybody who loves good music and, you know, just appreciates, you know, good music and wanted more from me. You know, I literally, this was because of them, you know, like, honestly, I could have taken it or leave it, you know, so, but it has been such a fun ride and it's been such a fun ride that I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go around the track another time, you know. So, but no, literally shout out to all the Shorty Nomaz fans and all the people, the podcasters and the budding interviewers and writers and everybody, you know, just for, you know, taking the time to hear what I have to say. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's dope. And on that note, we say,
peace.
Peace, 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 peace.